Let's go, girls.
From New York City to Los Angeles, Powered Up with Beck and Franklin is giving women of all ages permission to live the life they've always dreamed of. Why live in black and white when you can choose the brilliance of 3D and Technicolor? Each week, Sandra Beck and Linda Franklin and their high-powered guests will be here to cheer you on, to share their challenges, their successes, and what they've learned along the way. It's all about women supporting women. The stories and practical tips on sex, beauty, money, and so much more are designed to help you reconnect to the powerful woman you are. Fabulous knows no limits. Now it's time for you to expand your boundaries. Here are Sandra Beck and Linda Franklin.
This is Sandra of Motherhood Talk Radio, and this is part two in our series with Dr. Lamy. Now, last week we had talked about some different principles that she identified as being the characteristics, the thought patterns, the behaviors of people who exhibit success in their lives. We talked about what success means and how that's different for different people, and that there are universal principles that we can apply to our lives to be successful no matter where we are in the world, no matter where we're from or what our education level is or what our experiences or assets are. And this week we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about listening. And I know that sounds really funny because we all have ears, you know, we all listen. We listen to music, we listen to people talking. But what we're going to talk about today is a little bit different. We're going to talk about the four types of listening. There's actually four types of listening, and I did not know that. So I'm going to bring to you Dr. Lamy, and she's going to introduce herself first, and then we're going to talk about these four types of listening. Dr. Lamy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sandra. Thank you for having me.
This is so much fun, Dr. Lamy, because we're taking these principles that seem so complex, and then yet they're so easy. You know, listening. Well, who can't listen? Well, you know, it's really hard to learn how to listen. I think we've got so much noise today. But before we get into that, I'd like you to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. For those that missed last week's segment on success, and if you did miss the segment, you can go ahead and find it on iTunes. You can find it on TogiNet. You can find it on motherhoodtalkradio.com. Dr. Lamy, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to talk about listening.
Okay, wonderful. So I was born and brought up in Israel. And since I was a child, I've always asked questions about the world, about God, about people. I wanted to know why the world is the way it is and why some people seem to be more successful than others, and what is it that they have that the majority of people don't have. And later on, as I grew up and I wanted to expand my education, I went to the United Kingdom and I got my higher education there. And my quest to find answers to my question has led me to take my PhD and to do research into the subject. So I wanted to find, the idea was to find to measure it scientifically, to measure, find the parameters that identify success. So what are the parameters or principles that successful people have and the rest do not? But I was looking into success in the broader definition. I wasn't interested just in someone who has achieved material success or fame or power. I was looking at it from like a whole and complete package. So not only that they had financial comfort, they had a beautiful relationship, a great family. They were contributing to the community. They cared for others. So it was important to me that they have achieved success on all four areas, spiritual, emotional, physical, and mental. And that's what I did. So, you know, the research involved thousands of people and lots of interviews and questionnaires and observations. And I came up with a scientifically proven result to help people achieve that success, but to show them the way to that success. And that's my background. I'm a psychologist by profession. I currently live in the United States in California, and I have my own practice where I see, where I work with clients individually and in their businesses.
So you brought up in your work, there are four types of listening. And I find this really interesting because I always thought there was just, you know, you just listen, like that's it. But in reality, there are four types of listening. So can you tell me what those four are, just so we have a baseline of understanding?
Yes. So the most common way of listening that the majority of us think that exists is us listening to another. That's one part of listening. There's another type of listening, which is listening to your body, the messages of your body, listening to your emotions, and listening to God or the universe. So actually, the listening to your body and your emotions comes under listening to yourself. So in fact, there are three types of listening, but one of them has subcategories. So let me sum it up. There are three types of listening: listening to another, listening to yourself, and listening to the universe and God. Where listening to yourself includes listening to your thoughts, listening to your body, and listening to your emotions.
And do we need to do all of these things in order to be, you know, successful, in order to be fulfilled and happy?
Yes, in order to be, you know, when we use the word success, I feel we never done what I'm talking about. In order to reach a certain of fulfillment, in order to be fulfilled in life, to be content, to be happier, to be more successful, it would be really useful to have this type, or to achieve that type of listening. So when we learn to listen to other, ourselves, and God. So yes, it makes life easier, fun. It's like, you know, the answers, but even though you are facing certain challenges or everything doesn't go well, but you have a better, deeper understanding of the complexity of your life and the world. So there is less anxiety, there is less stress, there is more peace. Majority of the time, of course, at certain points of our lives, each of us will get off balance and, you know, we won't apply all those forms of listening. But overall, when we have learned to utilize all three levels of listening, life is much easier, much happier. You're more at peace and more content.
So when you listen to your body, like, I'm a little confused on listening to your body, and then, like, I get listening to other people. I think we do that all the time. And we talk to people. Like right now, I'm listening to you, you're listening to me. We listen to other people. Like, that's kind of natural and normal feeling to me, if I can use that word.
But we don't, the majority of us don't listen to another. Even though the people converse, they don't truly listen.
Okay, you're going to need to explain that to me.
I wanted to explain it because don't dismiss listening to another as something that we are all practicing. But we can talk about it more. So
yeah, I would like that because I listen for a living. You know, I talk on the radio. I have to listen to people. So when you say, but people really don't listen, I mean, I get it. Like, you know, like my dad, it's like he'll be watching the football game and not listening to me when I talk. Or are you talking about something deeper than that?
I'm talking about something deeper than that. We can talk about it after I answer your question because I interrupted.
No, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Somebody's not listening. Just teasing.
So I really want to clarify this shortly. You may be accustomed in the process of listening, but the majority of people is not. So, for example, many times when two people convert, when someone doesn't truly listen, they can hear what I'm saying. But at the same time, there will be another dialogue running at the back of their mind about what they want to say or making, you know, observations of how I look or how I speak or thinking about the errands they've got to run. Like, they're not fully hearing what I say or even having their own interpretation of what I'm saying, which may be completely off and it's not relevant to what I'm saying because they're not truly listening. They're hearing my word, but they're not listening. True listening is to getting to a point that I'm able to hear the word and get what the other person says and don't have an automatic answer because I'm transparent. There is no, the internal dialogue is turned off. And when I'm getting to that point, usually I don't have the immediate answer, but the answer shows up the moment the person stops talking. I will not interrupt the person in the middle. Like sometimes people talk and then somebody jumps into the like what I've just done to you, jumps in the middle because they haven't really listened. They've got their own agenda or their own idea they want to present. So truly listening to someone, in some way, it's like becoming one with the person. It's like when I am really hearing you, I'm getting what you're trying to say. I don't have my own interpretation. It's like I'm transparent. That's true listening.
So,
and I'm not picky on the words you're saying. So let's say you use certain words. I get the message. I don't get hang on a certain word that triggers me or reminds me of my mother or my ex-husband or whoever it may be.
Okay, so we've got to stay focused. Like what you're talking about, being mindful, being present, like not talking about the future, the past, or going all these things in your head or your to-do list or all the million and one things that distract us from being present with the other person and truly listening. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. The word present and mindful is key.
Okay. So that's listening. Like to truly listen is to be present with the person without any other distractions and not thinking about what you're going to say and how you're going to help them or what you're going to do or the million things that are going through your mind. You're just focusing on what that person has to say. That would be the classification for listening.
To another.
I don't think men ever do that, but I can tell you, raising boys, that focus thing, man, that's really hard. But let's talk about listening to our body first, because you said there were two components, body and emotions. And I'd like to listen to our body. How do we listen to our body? What does that mean?
So part of listening, I would like to put it in context. Listening to our body is part of listening to ourselves, okay? It's a subcategory. How do we listen to our body? So it's very simple in a sense. Our body always signals things to us. So whenever we feel tired, our body is trying to tell us something. Whenever there is a part of our body that experiences discomfort, our body is trying to tell us something. Let me give you a simple example. And listening to our body, in order to better explain it, I would like to talk about Louise Hay's work, which is You Can Heal Your Life, where she connects certain illnesses, with certain way of thinking. So listening to our body is really paying attention to the body, to our body sensations before it becomes acute, such as an illness. Let me give you an example of somebody, a client I worked with. So she's a single mother with two kids. She's divorced. And she has a challenging child. And her child is on the autism spectrum. She's not autistic, but she's on the highly functional side of autism. There is a reason why I'm saying that. So she goes to school, she converts, she has her intellectual capacity intact, but she's emotionally challenged. The mother wants to help the daughter, and of course she loves her very much, and the mother has another son. So what's been happening is that every time we would have a session, she would, at certain points, she would get a migraine. And she would have those migraines at times outside of our session. And at one time I asked her, what is your body trying to tell you? Why do you get migraines? There is a reason you get them. Is it possible that part of you is resisting having your child the way she is? You don't accept her the way she is? It's hard for you to deal with her. So whenever a difficult topic comes up, or whenever she challenges you, your migraine starts. She stopped and started thinking for a second. And I asked her not to give me an answer, to go and think about it so we can process it further. But she realized that this is exactly what's going on. It's like every time she had a migraine, it was an excuse not to deal with her daughter at that moment because she needs rest. Her body was signaling her to look into something that she refuses to deal with. That's what I mean when I say listening to your body. The body reacts because we have our thoughts, so we need to listen to our thoughts. If we ignore our thoughts, or some of them are at the subconscious level, they affect us at the subconscious level, then it affects our body. And because we don't listen to our mind first, then the second way the message will come through is through our emotions and through our body. And if we ignore our emotions, then it will go to the body. So we have to understand that whenever we get a signal from our body, it's because we have been in denial and we've ignored certain particular messages for a long time. So the system wants us to pay attention to it because we are not living our fulfilled self. And it would help us by manifesting a physical symptom. So, we've got to pay attention to it. We can't ignore it anymore. Does that answer the question?
Yes, yes. Because I see a lot of, like the moms in my community, they're stuffing their feelings and they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're stuffing their feelings with food, and their body is telling them, there's something wrong here, and you have to get to the root of it. You have to get to what the problem is. So I get that. I understand that. Now, our emotions, how do we listen to our emotions? Like, I can see now, how do we listen to our body? How do we listen to our emotions?
Okay, so we all have emotions, and listening to our emotions is not ignoring how we feel. So, because our emotions are kind of a guiding system for us. They guide us to show us if we are in harmony with our soul, or if we are not, or if we are in harmony with the flow of life, or if we are not. And actually, before it goes, it goes to a physical manifestation, but like as we've talked about before, if we don't, it first it's the emotion. So if let me think of an example, because nothing comes to mind right now. Okay, so let's say you are one of my clients was married, actually still is married, and she has challenges with her husband's family. And every time they would have to get together with the family, she would get angry. Okay? She really did, it's like she would, her whole mood would change. But obviously she would go and she would invite them and she would interact with them. But inside she would really, she felt anger and resentment and frustration. And she never addressed it with her husband. And as we talked, I asked her, you know, it seems to me that there is a part of you, because she told me about the family dynamic and stories and things that were happening, etc. You know, it seems to me that your anger comes from not wanting to be controlled. And it seems to me that some people in that family have control over you, but you do not have the tools to stand up to them. So what happens to you is you succumb to their request, but it makes you angry. And that has created over the years resentment, and every time you need to interact with them, you get angry. So she never listened to that emotion. She just suppressed it. But once she acknowledged it and she realized, oh my God, my emotions are trying to tell me something. I'm getting angry because I am doing something I really don't want to do. I am actually, there are certain things I refuse to accept, but I accept it because I don't know how to communicate with them. And once we've talked about it and she learned how to do it, the anger was not there anymore because she started to live her authentic self, to be her authentic self. So she was not suppressing anything. She was not denying anything. And the anger disappeared. And they started to respect her more. So listening to emotion, whenever we get depressed, whenever we are angry, whenever we are hurt, there is a message there. Why? And we need to find it. We need to find out why. Our emotions are telling us there is something either right or wrong. So whenever we feel happy and joy, and joyful and excited, it means that we are in the flow of life. Our emotions are telling us, hey, you're doing the right thing. You're aligned with your purpose. The whole part of your being are in alignment with the universe. And whenever we experience a negative emotion, we need to stop and ask, hey, what's going on? What is the message for me? What are the emotions trying to tell me? What am I not dealing with? Because negative emotions come from not doing what you're supposed to do, going against your true self, going against the flow of your true self.
So, okay, so let me back up on that. The negative emotions happen when we go against our true self. So if we are forced to do something, or we are controlled, or we like a lot of people I know, like during the holidays now, they go and they be with family, and there's a lot of negative emotion that comes up because, you know, their mom tells them to clear the table and they're a 40-year-old woman, or their dad tells them to do something. And it's that whole core of not wanting to be controlled. So how do we figure out what's at the root of that anger?
How do we figure out the root of that anger?
Yeah, like how do we know, like...
How do we know why we get angry?
Yeah.
Well, that requires some help. That requires self-awareness. So it's hard to figure it out on your own. I suggest to go to see someone, to get some help. And if not, then process it with a close friend. Talk about it, you know, and ask your friend to point out to you or to tell you what did they see that you don't see? What do they think that about what you are saying? But don't ask for sympathy and empathy. Just ask them to be like a mirror to explain to you and to share with you what is it that they see that we are blind to. There is no black and white answer. Finding the reason to your emotion requires really self-awareness. And that requires, usually takes after, it usually happens after a certain work, you know, personal growth work. But if you don't, if you haven't had a therapist or a coach, or you didn't attend any, like, you know, personal development group, then you can utilize somebody close. You can utilize somebody close to you who is wise and you trust, and you can ask for the help. But every time there is an emotion that pops up, you need to ask, okay, what am I not paying attention to? What am I ignoring? What's really going on here? And sometimes the truth is hard to hear, even for yourself. Like, because it may require changes, and people don't like change. It may require that you need to go to talk to your parents, and it's something you've never done in your life. It may require that the job you no longer desire, that you hate waking up in the morning and going, you know, to work, requires you to look for another job. But hey, this job pays my bills. So, you know, people, that's all types of resistance, and people need help to move past those resistance and not to be afraid to create the change that is aligned with the true self, because it always pays off at the end. Always. And when people don't make the change, sometimes they're forced by the universe to make it. All of a sudden, they may get fired because they're not fulfilling their true purpose. To answer the question, simple.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've listened, so we know how to listen to our body, we know how to listen to our emotions. Now we're going to get to the tough one. How do we listen to God or the universe? And how do we know the difference between all the messages that come in and what is truly divine? How's that for a talk?
Okay, so that, this is a great question. And there isn't a very simple answer, and it may be difficult to answer it in the short amount of time that we've had. So I just give some pointers. Usually, the messages from the universe of God resonate true to us. And nobody can understand it, or nobody may see it but us. We are the only one that will know when there is a message for us and it's true to us. And in order to get to that place that you can see, you can read it and understand it and interpret it right, it requires to believe in God. And I'm not referring to God in the narrow sense. I'm talking in the broader sense. I don't want to use the word God in the context of religion or organized religion. And people, people can call it the creator, the infinite intelligence, the universe, whatever you want. So first of all, you have to believe in that energy and develop a certain relationship with it. And usually when the messages that come from the universe make us feel good, we know the truth. When we understand the message, when we know it's for us, there is a sense of peace, even though the message may not be positive. So let me think of a good example. There was a time in my life. Oh, before I go to my story and example, the other part of the answer is when we learn to listen to our thoughts, and when we learn to shut down the internal dialogue, the chatterbox in our head, and we have learned to listen to our emotions and body, it's easier to recognize the messages from the universe or from God. And it's easier to listen to them. Why? Because we are more in tune with our intuition. Our intuition, because usually the message from the universe comes from our intuition, not from any part of the self. And connecting to our intuition, sometimes people think that it's a gut feeling in their intuition, but it's not, because they haven't gone through this cleansing process. But once you've gone through it, you really know your gut and your intuition, and those are usually from the universe. So I remember before I came to the United States, I used to live in England. And I was working for a financial firm. It was a very lucrative, prestigious job. I was hired to be the director and the head of the advisory practice for high net worth individuals of a financial firm. And I developed a whole new area of psychology. And I did some work in affluenza and the psychology of money of wealth. And I was, you know, constantly interviewed on radio and television and was invited to speak in different conferences. It was really a beautiful job. And I know that, and I always wanted to move to the United States since I was a kid, but I didn't know how it's going to manifest because I needed a visa to stay here, to work, a work permit, and to get my green card. It was a challenge. I had no idea how it's going to happen. But I would pray. I remember that 3 years before it happened, I would pray to God that, you know, I would like to live in the United States. But I had my job, so I didn't even make any effort to move to the United States or research or inquire about doing so. 6 months before I moved here, I got fired from my job because the company went through reorganization and they were bought by somebody else and they were restructuring. And they shut down the department and I was left with no job. Now, the message was, I knew that it happened to me because I didn't have the strength to leave my job and to move to the United States. So the universe has pushed me to do so. So I let go of that attachment I had to that job and be free. 6 months later, my brother tells me, I'm going to the United States for business. Come join me. Let's go, you know, take a break, see what's your next move, where are you going to go in your life, what you're going to do next. Had I had this job, I would have never been able to live for 2 months and, you know, travel. But I didn't have that job and it was easier. And I knew that the universe has caused that for the next step in my life. But if I wasn't in tune with that, I would probably experience stress and anxiety and panic. And who knows, depression, and who knows what else. My ego was bruised because how come I was let go of such a great job? Sorry, how much I was let go. What did I say?
You were talking
how was
about...
I? Yes.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I said I didn't phrase it correctly, but I did. So...
Now, did you know at the time that this was, like, you know, it's one thing to look back in hindsight and go, okay, well, all this happened, you know, for the reason, you know, blah, blah, blah. But at the time, did you recognize that you know, that things were moving out of your way so you could do what you wanted to do?
I didn't know that those things were moved because of me ending up in the United States. I knew they were removed because I was, truthfully, there was part of me that wasn't happy there in England anymore. So I knew that it's happening for the next step in my life, and I just need to accept it. But you've got to understand, knowing it, I knew that the universe has created it for a reason for the next step. But even though I knew that, that doesn't mean that my personal self, my ego will not kick in and would fight it. So even though we understand the messages from the universe, the mind, the ego part of the self, we fight it. Of course, it's bruised. It needs attention. It was hurt. So what I'm trying to say is, as long as you identify the messages, don't think that it's all going to be rosy and easy. No. Because you have to attend to the other part of yourself, which is the ego. The ego will fight for its survival. Just accept that and know that this is part of the process. But what gives you the strength to stay away from panic or anxiety is the knowing that there is a reason, that the universe has done it for X, Y, or Z.
Okay, so know that when crisis comes or change comes, which it happens to everybody, that there's a part of us, you call it the ego, that's going to resist, but to maybe take a breath and take a step back and go, okay, in the grand scheme of things, what's going on here? Like I equate it to my divorce. At the divorce point, I used to go like, oh my gosh, this is awful. I'm divorcing. I've been cheated on, all these things that, you know, were my ego speaking, but there was a little voice inside of me, Dr. Lamy, that would always say things like, yeah, but you understand you're free. You get a do-over. You get another at-bat. You get to start over. You get to not live this life anymore where you are so unhappy. And it was a war between those two entities, like the internal part that was going, hey, look, you're free now. This is what you wanted. This is what you were hoping for. And then there's the ego that was like, well, I didn't want it to happen this way.
True. But your higher self knew what's better for you. But sometimes the higher self is not aligned. The higher self looks at things differently. It's not caught up in the conversations we have on this earthly planet, such as divorce is bad, marriage is better, family unit is the best thing, having financial success is important. The higher self is not concerned with those things. It's concerned with the truth, the evolution of the soul. So that's why that's the little voice. That's why the little voice was encouraging you in that direction, because it was more concerned with your growth. And I believe if you look back at who you were back then and who you are today, I believe you would say, I'm a different person. I'm a much more evolved person. The knowledge and the insight and the wisdom and the capacity to handle things and situations, it's much better than before.
Absolutely.
Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. So I think we've got to, but I think to hear that little voice, like that little voice would only, I could only hear it like at 2 o'clock in the morning when I couldn't sleep and everything was quiet. And do you think that had I had at that point in my life, maybe a meditation practice in place that I could have quietly listened? You know, because it's hard to listen. It's hard to get these messages
noise. Yeah, exactly. That's what I said in the beginning. It's the hardest part of the listening is listening to the universe because of that chatterbox. You're right. But if you were experienced in the practice of listening prior to your divorce, you would have heard it better. So let's say majority of people are not experienced in that. What should they do? Yes, meditation can help, but when people go through challenging times, it's hard for them to meditate because the mind is really taking over. I guess that I would ask people to, when they have quiet moments, like at night, close their eyes and just think of the result of the challenge that they are going through. And if thinking about the end result brings peace to the body and the body relaxes, that they know that this is the right thing and it's the message that they perceive to be from the universe is true. But if they think of the end result and it makes the body tense, then maybe they're not interpreting or seeing it right. Now, obviously, we have to understand something. We're talking about deep concepts. We're talking about many aspects of the self and of our being. And it's hard to explain it in a clear and concise way in the amount of time that we have. So there is a lot, there is a room for misinterpretation, and probably there are many questions that people have and they need more clarity. those things need to be discussed with a professional in a program, in coaching, in person, to get a better reach, better deep understanding of this truth. What we're doing here is just we're triggering the appetite. Like we are introducing some concepts for people to start becoming aware of. It's not for them to find solutions. It's just to expand their awareness.
Sandra? Okay, so yeah, I was just thinking about that, about the solutions and the awareness.
Solutions are very hard. It's hard to give like a quick solution that applies for everybody. Like meditation is a good technique, you know, what I just said about relaxing the body and thinking about the end result. It's a good technique. But for those who can't use those techniques because they don't work with them, I don't want them to be disheartened because there is a solution for them. It's just that they need to get guidance, more guidance. Maybe what we're talking about right now will not apply for them. For them, there is a different technique or something that will be tailor-made just for them. But the point is that there is always an answer. And don't look for quick solutions. It's an inquiry. It's a process. But start listening. Start working on your listening. Start listening to yourself, your body. Don't worry about listening to the universe, because once you learn to really listen to yourself, I think this is where everything starts. Everything else will fall into place. You know, I cover everything in depth in the book, and I keep referring to the book because it's much easier to write and explain everything clearly when you're writing than when you're speaking. So many of the answers.
Well, sure, these are big concepts. You know, these are really big, you know, life concepts, you know, but I think, you know, you do a great job in giving us like kind of like what it looks like, what it tastes like, what it feels like. Because even though we may not understand the why and have the knowledge, you know, that you share in the book, we can model after, like I always believe success leaves clues. We can model after, you know, good listening or good, you know, listening to your body when you tell me stories or I spoke about, you know, different experiences, then we can model these kind of behaviors of success with respect to listening. I wanted to ask a question about prayer versus meditation, because, you know, people say, well, prayer is a form of meditation and meditation is listening and prayer is talking. I'm curious to, because, you know, your native language was Hebrew, correct? Your first language?
Correct.
And then you've lived in England and you've lived in the United States, and obviously, you know, you're well-versed with the word prayer and well-versed with the word meditation. How do you define the difference, or is there any?
Okay, Sandra, before I answer that question, there is another point that I want to bring about listening to the universe.
Okay.
Because I think it's important, because when we talked about listening to the universe, I presented heavy situations or challenging situations, but listening to the universe can be also breaking up with a girlfriend or looking for love, and then every time you turn the radio, there is a particular song that keeps playing that has a message for you, okay, you know, that is soothing to you, or driving with your car and there is a billboard that keeps coming up that has a message for you. So this is another form of listening to the universe that I think it's important to mention. And back to your answer, the difference between prayer and meditation. I don't think that we can compare the two, even though sometimes when real, you know, spiritual masters would pray, they'll get into a meditative state. Like that would be transcended, that as if they were not in this reality. They transcended into a different reality. But I believe that the way people, prayer actually has Let's define praise first. Prayer is using your words or using your thoughts for to connect to the Creator. And it can be asking for something, it can be thanking for something, and it can be acknowledging something. Okay? Now, the simple form of praise, when people just recite words without really feeling the meaning and connecting to the words. So that is not meditative at all. It's just another form of speaking. Meditation is when you take a moment to quieten the mind and to connect to your Creator, to your higher self, or to an altered reality, or whatever it may be. And in the process of meditation, you don't always ask for something. It depends what you use it for. You can use it for as a form of relaxation, as a form of getting answers. You can also use it as a form of prayer, or to visualize certain things. But and it can come from your heart. It doesn't have to be cited from a book. You know, it's a whole different experience. Now, as I'm talking and explaining those things to you, I think that two are different, but maybe they overlap in the sense that you can, a praise can lead you to a state of meditation or meditative state, and meditation can lead you to a prayer. But I think that the major differences are the ones that I've just expressed. Have I answered the question?
I think so. You know, it's one of those things where I kind of go back and forth, and I always like to have, you know, because I think prayer and meditation are important key components to success. At least they have been in my life. You know, when I meditate, when I practice in prayer, things seem to go better for me. So, you know, that's anecdotal for me. But we have just a few minutes. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Sandra, I'm sorry for interjecting, but I don't want to lose that. You're absolutely right. And you know why? Because through prayer and meditation, the inner chatter is minimized. So you are able to connect to your higher self. And when you operate from your higher self, so things go smoother. The ego, it doesn't exist at that moment. When you pray and when you meditate, the ego somehow disappears. You're connecting to your higher self, to your spirit, to your soul, and you allow it to perform through you.
Hold on, I'm writing that down. The ego disappears through prayer and meditation. Okay.
Okay. And it allows the spirit and the soul to perform through you. That's why it's easier. There are no interruptions. The left side of the brain disappears at that moment. You access the right side of the brain, which is known to be the part that's connected to the higher self.
Got it.
I don't know if I've answered your questions about the difference. You've asked about the difference between meditation and prayer, or if they're the same or they're different.
Yeah.
Is that what you... Well, if you do it, if you pray, but you're not connecting to the world, it's not meditation. It's just like, you know, citing something. But it can be a form of meditation. Prayer can be a meditation. Meditation can be prayer. It depends upon how the individual applies. Do you understand?
I get it, the connection. When you said the difference, like, you know, the prayer can be just rote memory, you know, repeating. But then if you're in a meditative state or in a higher state of connection, let's say, then it can be meditation as well.
Correct. And vice versa. It really depends how you, the individual, apply each of them.
Got it. Okay, well, we have to wrap it up, Dr. Lamy.
Okay.
I'd like for you to leave our listeners today with the best piece of advice you can give with respect to listening.
Practice less talking and more listening. So take a week to say to yourself, you know, this week I'm going to talk less and I'm going to hear more and listen to others more, including myself. And for some people, that may be a challenge because they really are not accustomed to listening to their mind and it can be scary. Don't be scared. Just apply this as much as you can, little by little, and then it will become a habit. And you'll start seeing changes in the way you listen to others, to yourself, and to the world.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Lamy, for being our guest today on Motherhood Talk Radio. For those of you who like this show, go ahead and check out Motherhood Talk Radio. You can look at last week's show to hear more from Dr. Lamy as we talk about success and we talk about the key components that we need to do to become successful. Mm-hmm. And we will check in with you next week when we're going to talk more about how you can be the best possible person you can be as you raise these children into the next generation. This is Sandra Beck for Motherhood Talk Radio, and we'll see you next week.
We're so glad you joined us for Powered Up with Beck and Franklin. Sandra Beck, Los Angeles-based single mother and technology company owner, knows what it's like to be fit, funny, and fantastic in your 40s. Linda Franklin, a New Yorker with a successful marriage and prominent career, is the brains behind The Real Cougar Woman. She shares her wisdom, grace, and laugh-out-loud opinions based on her stellar successes, both in the financial world and in her personal life. Check out our website, poweredupwithbeckandfranklin.com, and join us next week for another great conversation. We're here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on toginet.com.